I would like to present our observations regarding algorithm-based validation of sleep apnea treatment in primary care after approximately 1 year of implementation in France. As shown in the upper left section of the poster, since June 2024, sleep apnea treatment prescriptions have been evaluated through a national digital decision support system based on HAS threshold criteria. The objective is understandable: to improve consistency and standardization of administrative decisions. However, family physicians regularly manage patients whose clinical situations may not fit perfectly into predefined numerical thresholds. To explore this issue, we retrospectively reviewed 127 electronically submitted prescriptions between June 2024 and September 2025 using the National AmeliPro validation system. As shown in the results section, 89 prescriptions were approved, corresponding to 70% of cases, whereas 38 prescriptions, or 30%, were rejected. When we examined these rejected prescriptions, we observed that they frequently involved clinical phenotypes in which the global apnea-hypopnea index may underestimate the actual burden of disease. These included REM-related sleep apnea, positional sleep apnea, flow limitation syndromes, and patients presenting mainly with cognitive symptoms. I would now like to comment on the two clinical cases presented on the poster. The first case concerns an 81-year-old woman with daytime sleepiness, morning confusion, and cognitive decline. Her global AHI was only 9 events per hour, but respiratory events increased to 27 per hour during REM sleep. Because of the clinical presentation and REM-related respiratory events, CPAP treatment was initiated. Follow-up documented clear clinical improvement, including better attention, improved verbal fluency, reduced daytime sleepiness, and disappearance of morning confusion. Her general practitioner considered continuation of treatment clinically essential. Despite this documented benefit, reimbursement remained repeatedly denied, and appeal procedures did not result in clinical reassessment. The initial algorithm-based decision remained determinant. The second case illustrates a different situation. This was a 61-year-old man with severe obstructive sleep apnea and predominant morning symptoms. His treatment was initially rejected by the validation system. Following reassessment, treatment was eventually accepted. However, during the intervening period, there was no reimbursement, creating a temporary interruption in care continuity and increasing the medico-administrative burden for both patient and physician. These two cases illustrate different outcomes, but a common issue. In the first case, documented clinical improvement was not sufficient to modify the initial decision. In the second case, the final decision changed, but only after a delay that disrupted the therapeutic process. Our observations therefore do not question the usefulness of decision support algorithms. Rather, they suggest that some complex primary care situations may not be fully captured by threshold-based administrative systems. Longitudinal clinical evolution, treatment benefit, and individual patient context may deserve greater consideration during reassessment procedures. In conclusion, decision support algorithms are valuable tools, but primary care physicians remain responsible for evaluating real-world patient outcomes over time. Maintaining a balance between standardized criteria and clinical judgment remains essential for patient-centered care.